Welcome to the latest podcast from Aston Lark Employee Benefits.
Hello, I'm Samantha Mistry, Director of Aston Lark Employee Benefits, an interested party in helping advise clients and prospects on the effects of mental health. I'm also a girlfriend, daughter, and friend where mental health has been issues to those around me. Today, what I want to do is challenge some of the issues and discuss what we can all do to help our community, family and workforce so we can all maximise our potential, but with a particular focus today on men's health. I'm joined today by Dan Franklin, Business Development Executive at Aston Lark, and Dominic Perry, who is our wellness champion within the business, who are joining me to have this conversation.
Thanks for having us along, Sam.
Yeah, definitely good to be here.
Excellent. So we've got some questions that we're going to run through. And obviously the idea is that we're interested in your perspective. But when I was doing some research for this piece, a few things that really flashed up to me that I think most people will find quite surprising is that at the moment, 76%, which is 3 out of 4 suicides, are all men. And it's still the current biggest killer in men aged under 35. So for me, that was really quite a stark statistic about what's happening out there in reality. Despite that, 63% of men have never sought any professional help. I'm not sure whether you feel that's reflective, but that's a recent survey that's been done by Simply Health.
I think all those statistics there are quite shocking, really, because it's especially that the that is the biggest death under, what did you say it was, age 36?
Yeah, 35, Dan.
35. Yeah. You just can't believe that, you know, when there are, you know, you see all these illnesses that are out there, you know, whether it be cancers and things like that, that can affect the younger people. You can't believe that it would actually be suicides. That is the biggest cause of death for male youth.
Absolutely. And I suppose one of the final stats that I was really interested in was 58% of men think gender stereotypes stop others seeking help, but only 21% said it affected them personally. So whether people aren't actually thinking it is, but there's a perception that it does.
Yeah, it's that typical kind of man up, isn't it?
You know, yeah.
Those two horrible words that actually don't really mean anything.
Yeah.
But need to be there to actually.
But everyone's heard them, haven't they? Everyone's been told, especially males, you know, growing up, you're not allowed to be upset and, you know, just get on with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think we're going to focus on this a little bit more when we go through these questions, because I think some of this issue is around roles and the attitudes that have happened over many, many years that we really want to challenge today. So I'm going to dive into the questions, chap. So in light of the coronavirus pandemic, do you think mental health stigma has changed for the better or the worse?
I think if I could jump in on that one, I think it's definitely for the better. I think we now feel it's acceptable to maybe admit that we might not be okay. Whereas before, it was very much, you know, you just need to get on with it. And, you know, it's something that you'll feel better in a couple of days. And I think, you know, most of the time it does, but there are some times when it doesn't. And I definitely think with people being, you know, locked at home, locked in maybe four walls, not being able to speak or see friends, family, even partners for some people, it's really had a huge impact. And I think a lot of people have started to see the other side. You know, previously they might have thought mental health would never affect them.
Yeah.
And now, you know, now they actually see that, you know, mental health doesn't have to be a mental health breakdown. It can literally be just, you know, feeling sad or feeling tired, not being able to sleep, any number of things that have all been, you know, I never realized that things like not being able to sleep can be attributed to mental health. Whereas, you know, I just thought it was one of the things you get in bed at night and your brain just keeps going.
Yeah, I definitely think you're right. I think they say now as many as 3 in 4 people have experienced some type of mental health issue because of the pandemic. And it's so much more prevalent. And, you know, when you start to say, I'm feeling a bit crap today. I've had enough of this. Oh, I'm just frustrated. I'm fed up. People are like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's been easier to start a conversation and break down the stigma, which hopefully we won't lose if things get back to some type of air quoted normal, as it were. You know, it's.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, I think it's good strides. I would hate to see us kind of lose that.
Yeah, I agree. Nice. So what do you guys think then is the biggest contributor to impacting on men's mental health?
I think it comes back to what you mentioned when we first started about the male and female gender roles. You know, I think that really is the root cause where, you know, females generally were seen as being more in touch with their emotions. You know, they'd be able to talk to their friends about things like that, where, you know, males, they'd kind of keep it to themselves because they wouldn't want to appear weak in front of, you know, their friends at a football game on a Saturday or down the pub, that kind of thing.
So do you think it's because sometimes men don't talk about their emotions in the same way because it's potentially seen by some people as a weakness, even though the reality is it's a huge strength?
I think seeing it as a strength rather than a weakness, it can be an eye-opener for some people. You know, the same as you might admit you might not be good at something in your job, and you try and work on that, and you might ask for help for it. Mm-hmm. Why don't you ask for help in trying to manage your feelings, your emotions?
Mm. Yeah. And do you think people like Adam Peaty, who came out about his mental health and said, I've broken the world record every single year, and now I'm going to take a break because I know what is best for me. Do you think that will help people?
I think having a household name like him, and not even a household name, you know, like a multiple gold Olympian. I think he's swum like the 16 fastest times for one of his, I think it's breaststroke. You know, no one can even get close to him. It's crazy, really. But, you know, you've also got other people like Johnny Wilkinson. He's come out and talked about struggles he's had. I think Ben Stokes, cricketer, he's just said that he needs to take some time away, you know, come back refreshed. You know, we see it in, you know, female sports like Simone Biles. She was happy to admit, you know, that she was having issues and she took a break. But I think it really helps, especially males, when you can see perhaps a role model step forward and give that strength to other people.
Yeah, and it's their success still doesn't mean that they can't still be impacted. You know, it can literally happen to anyone regardless. You know, you could think, oh, I'm getting all these medals and doing amazingly well. What have you got to have an issue about? What's still going to impact?
Yeah. You
know, everyone has mental health. It's on that spectrum. So there's no.
I think when you have to operate, at that elite level for so long, must be so hard to do.
It's no different, really, you think, with the business, isn't it? So, like, from.
You relied on, yeah.
Like your Wall Street kind of traders, that high or any high pressure environment like that, sport is exactly the same. The more pressure you apply to it, people are going to feel it. You know, if they're working longer hours, they're training more, they're doing all of these things, at some point they're going to burn out if they don't look after themselves. And it's fine to stop and say, I need time to rest and recuperate.
Mm-hmm. So just thinking about you personally for a second, if either of you were affected by a mental health issue, do you think it would be easier to speak to someone impartial as opposed to a friend or family?
For me, I think right now I'd prefer to do it anonymously. I'd rather speak to, say, you know, like a professional. I think for me, it's something that I wouldn't particularly want them to know me as a person. I'd like them to just listen to my issues and see it from the outside. Whereas, you know, if someone's known you for many years, you know, like a friend of mine, I might just think, you know, they've grown up with me. They think of me in a completely different light, and they might not actually understand, and they might not. Or they might not feel comfortable offering that help. Because what you've got to think is it's not necessarily you've got to be comfortable asking for help. A lot of people out there aren't comfortable giving help. You know, I think men are probably worse at asking if someone's okay than actually saying to someone else, I'm not okay.
Yeah, I think for me, it's difficult. I've had ongoing mental health issues for a number of years. Pretty much since my teens, to be fair. But over the last 5 years in particular, it really tailed off for me and I spiraled quite quickly. but it's led to me being able to talk about it more, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be here today. And the more that I've talked about it and the more open I've been, the easier it's become. You know, when we said earlier, it's that kind of finding strength in that, it is saying, okay, I have this weakness here, but I don't let it stop me. And I actually make it into what I do around kind of well-being and things like that, and turn it into a positive. And if it then means I can help someone else on the back of it, then that's brilliant. That's kind of what I'm there to do with it. Mm. I think when you hear other people having conversations, it becomes more relatable. Then that's where you can go, oh yeah, kind of someone else is going through it. Whether, you know, it just helps you feel a little bit better, because you know you're not alone within it.
And I spoke to my partner today who echoed that completely. So I think we were talking about the fact that we need to educate, don't we? And maybe in a female environment, we're more used to talking about our feelings. So we've sort of learned that through the years, and maybe that's where we want to challenge for men to make sure they feel open enough to have those conversations, and also make sure they understand that listening is a skill.
Yes.
It's not just about, yeah, I'm all right, yeah, I'm all right. When we ask, do we really want the answer?
Yeah. Definitely agree. It's like sometimes you need to ask twice. It's like, I'm all right. It's like, are you actually all right? And it's like, okay, yeah, no, maybe not. But
that's probably a bit how you have to sometimes tell a male twice, three times as well for them to listen to anything.
Very true.
So if we think about that, so if we take that forward, thinking about how we can support people who may be fearful of seeking help, so what steps can we as a community, a workplace, a friend, what steps can we take to help?
I would say looking at what support is available, and sometimes you just need to kind of signpost and have things around. So at one point in the office, when we were back in the office, we put the employee assistance program numbers in the toilets, so that, you know, people didn't need to be seen going up to the notice board. You know, oh, Fred's going up to that notice board and making a note of that number, he's got an issue. You know, to take away some of that, so to give people the information. And mental health is one of those things that you can, it's that old adage of you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. That doesn't mean you can't signpost them and show them the way, and make it as easy as possible for people to access support. Whether that is, have you spoken to your GP? Is there a program through work that you could potentially use? Have you checked your council website or the NHS? You know, there's lots of charities that can do things. So just kind of giving people a range of places they can go so it works for them, I think that's probably really important.
I think it'd be great if we could get to a stage where, you know, I saw them in the toilet as well, and I thought it was a great idea, but wouldn't it be great to get to a stage where, you know, it can be on the side in the kitchen, and there's no, you know, there's no stigma attached to it, where people can walk up and take one of those little business cards. I know we got loads of those sent around from our EAP. I think it was when it was through MetLife, and it was one of those things, you put it in your wallet, you put it in your drawer. If you ever need it, you know, there's the number and the username to log on and get the help that you need.
Yeah,
I think also you've got on your emails, haven't you, Dom, when you sign off, you've got that you're a mental health
first aider.
And it's one of those things, you know, we've come on so far because, you know, say five, even a couple of years ago, that's not the kind of thing that you'd have on an email sign off. And if someone gets that and they can see that they can just drop you an email or give you a call, even if you only help one person within an organisation, it's done its job.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had a couple conversations within the organisation, and sometimes it is just having someone to sit for an hour and just go, okay, let's just chat. You know, I'm not professionally trained, you know, I'm not a counsellor or anything like that, but having kind of the experience that I've gone through, it helps sometimes just to hear someone else. And then just have a non-judgmental sounding board.
So many different reasons why they might need to get in contact with you as well. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily a reason behind why someone might be feeling, you know, suicidal or, you know, feeling like they're at a lost end, because it's, you know, it can be a relationship, it can be money issues, you know, some people even worry about their children not getting into school and, you know, what can they do to try and make their, you know, their child's life better. So it's a whole host of things that they can help you with, really.
Definitely.
Yeah. So if we think about that from a workplace perspective, maybe, if you noticed a male colleague being subdued, how would you sort of advise people to go about asking them if they're okay?
I know in for our workplace, you know, we've got sort of employee communications. We'd always do them with our clients as well. So, you know, if say we were to have a client that had an income protection scheme or a standalone employee assistance program, we'd put together the communication form that explains, you know, the numbers, the usernames, the passwords, that, and even just the help that's available to them. So I think that's really good if you can, if you can put it in a communication or on a flyer or even in like a monthly newsletter, that type of thing. Email sign-offs are great things if you've got, you know, the capacity to do that for mental health first aiders. So I think that's in the workplace, it's a lot easier than you'd think to actually get that across to people that the help is out there.
Say if you can try and remove them as well, if you feel comfortable enough to approach them about it, try and do it like not while you're sat at a desk. Could be a case of, oh, let's go to the pub for a drink, or actually, do you know what, do you want to go to the shop, let's just take a 15 minute walk or something like that, just to take them away, so it should hopefully feel a little bit less pressured with it. And it could be a case of they're away from other people they might not want to talk to about it. Checking in on one-to-ones and things like that as well. Just offering them that support there. And you're not always going to be able to get someone to open up if they don't want to, and that in itself is also fine. You know, you can't force someone into it, but you can just say, look, if you are struggling, you know, as Dan said, these are your support things that you could do. Or, you know, we're here if you ever want to talk about something.
And I think that's the trick, isn't it? Sometimes when we ask someone if they're okay, is then revisit that potentially, and then look at the signs of when somebody says, yes, I'm okay. What was your body language like? What was their tone of voice like? Just saying I'm okay doesn't necessarily mean we're okay.
I think it was much easier pre-pandemic as well when you were in the office, because you know, you can always tell if someone's a bit quiet, a bit removed, you know, in a bad mood, that kind of thing. Whereas on emails, it's, you know, you don't actually know what someone's like behind.
Very true.
So what things could you do to keep your mental health in check, chaps? What things do you practice?
You can go first, Dom. I'm interested to hear.
For me, there's a couple bits. I try and keep myself where possible in moments. And sometimes it can just be, I'm going through a day. So I've used this kind of example recently of, I read when I go to bed. It's like my kind of wind down routine of an evening. And I really just enjoy doing that. But I had like the cat cuddled in and I was sat there with a book. And it was just one of those moments. You're just like, I'm really just content. And this is lovely. And it was just enjoying that moment in particular and taking time to be in that moment. And where possible, knowing what could potentially trigger you if you have got particular triggers. And knowing that if something is going to set you off, how you can react to it. Sometimes if I'm not in a great place, I might just be stressed with work, or it might be stuff going on outside of work, whatever kind of would set me off. I know that I tend to retreat, and I'll chuck my phone like out of the way for a couple hours, and just go and put on a film that I've seen a million times over, or a TV series, and just switch off from the world. And that's kind of like, because I'm quite introverted, so it's how I kind of just recharge, as it were.
I think I'd have a bit of a routine like you as well. You know, I realise that for me, I love going to the gym, going on runs. I like to keep myself active to try and relieve stress. And for me, it's one of the things I need to make myself tired, because otherwise I just can't get to sleep at night. And that was one of the things I really struggled with when the first sort of lockdown happened and couldn't go to the gym. And we were only supposed to be doing, you know, like the one run a day kind of thing. And it got to nighttime and I was a bit bored, you know, I'd be on my phone, just fine, I couldn't shut down. So, you know, I got myself a routine where I wouldn't, you know, wouldn't be on my phone, you know, sort of like 30 minutes before bed. Be like, Dom, you know, if I want to stick something on the telly, just to have it in the background. Yeah. And I think it's just, it just became part of a routine for me. And I found that really helped. Whereas before I really struggled. And I just, for me, I wouldn't say it was any sort of, you know, like mental health issues that I had, but the not being able to sleep, you know, we've all had that, laying in bed, toss and turn and looking at the ceiling. At that point, you honestly don't think there's anything worse in life than not being able to sleep. You know, you keep, you know, you look over to see what time it is, and then you're worried that it's getting even later, and then, you know, you're going to be tired in the morning. It's just a vicious circle. So for me, it was, you know, getting that routine to make sure that I can try and keep, you know, take care of myself that way.
Excellent. So I think physical exercise can be a real thing, which is, whether you're a man or a woman, it's great.
Yeah, what have you found helped you, Sam? What did you do during the pandemic?
Physical exercise, actually, really.
I know you got into your running, didn't you?
Yeah, just to keep myself really balanced and on point, I suppose. And yeah, so I agree. The physical exercise thing, lifting some weight as well, well for me, really helps. So yeah, I think all of those combined strategies can really help us, can't they? And also taking responsibility for ourselves, which, you know, is what I'm hearing from both of you, really. You've taken that responsibility, and that's what we really want to encourage people to try and do, isn't it? Take the responsibility, but also feel they can reach out.
Yeah, absolutely. You can only kind of control what you're doing with it. So by being able to turn around and go, well, actually, this is how I can react to it, and I know what sets me off, you're then putting the power back in your hands rather than just allowing it to kind of escalate.
Excellent. So is there any additional advice that you guys would give to those listening to this podcast today to help them stay in check?
Personal care. I think you need to accept, or you need to realise that you're not being selfish if you want to take time to yourself. I think a lot of people are worried that, you know, you need to make sure that everyone else is happy, and sometimes that's the sacrifice for your own personal health. So I think, you know, whether it be, you know, like Dom says, reading the book, or, you know, there's nothing wrong with putting your phone down or going out on a walk or on a run and just looking after yourself for once. I know, you know, it's easy for me to say, I haven't got any kids, I haven't got any pets, you know, it's just myself I have to look after. But everyone can find, you know, everyone can find half an hour, a minute, it's half an hour, you know, an hour to just take care of himself. That's all you really need.
Mm-hmm. Just find what works for you. Like, there's no one size fits all with this. And try not to feel too pressured in it as well. So if you're not someone that is big into exercising, then, it, you know, don't feel the pressure of, I've not been out for like three runs this week or something like that. Or if you do want to start doing it, start really slowly and go, okay, well, maybe I'll go out for a half an hour walk twice a week, and try and be gentle with yourself. And don't feel like you're a failure because you're not hitting particular things. You know, kind of treat yourself with the same sort of kindness that you'd kind of expect to treat other people with.
And I think the biggest message out of the coronavirus for me was a lot of people talking about being kind, and that's being kind to yourself. So those around you, whether that's workplace, community, everything. And I think that's something we can all take away from today, hopefully.
Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's not hard to be nice, is it, at the end of the day? It's harder to be nasty than it is nice, so.
Well, thank you both for joining me today. So our message is, don't be afraid to speak up. Mm-hmm. Plenty of help and support out there, whether that's from your community, a workplace, or any club that you're part of. But of course, Aston Lark will be happy to help and put you in touch with charities or anything if needed. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to find out more about Aston Lark, visit astonlark.com.